Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 15. Tonight we'll be reading just three verses. We'll read one verse from this chapter, and then we'll lead you to the other two chapters and verses in a moment. 1 Chronicles, chapter 15, and in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 473. We'll be reading the 13th verse only from this chapter. And let's please stand, all of us standing, for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 13, let's read it please, ready. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. Let's turn now to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1315. We'll be reading the 6th verse. 6th verse only. Let's read it together, please. Ready? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Turn now to Galatians chapter 6. In your Schofield Bible, page 1247, Galatians chapter 6, we'll read verse 9. Ready? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for our church. We're thankful that you've given us this opportunity to assemble as a church family. A lot of us here love being here. We like the atmosphere. We just love the fellowship. We love to know that we'll hear from thee. And we thank you for a preacher who's faithful. Bless him tonight. Give him of thy power. Help us to listen with careful intention. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I love to hear her sing, but don't love to watch her from the back, all that hair hanging down there. I looked at that hair and then felt mine, and it's hard to believe there's a just God. Awfully hard to believe. Nothing tests my faith quite like that. She's probably got 50,000 hairs. I got two. Two little ewe hairs. That's all I got. And they're not stuck in my head. They're pasted on. I mean, you folks that don't enjoy this, going home tired looking at you. Our Heavenly Father, now the message. I will have a hard time thinking of a more important subject for God's children than what I'm going to speak about tonight. I pray you help me as I speak, and our dear people as they listen, and the visitors who share with us this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen. I start off tonight with an old story, one that you've heard me tell on occasion through these years. I've not always been an old preacher. I used to be a young preacher. When I was a young preacher, I was 32 years of age. I became pastor of this church. I'll come back to that after a while. But I had some heroes, like most young preachers do and should. I read an article in the Baptist Bible Tribune several years ago, saying, the days of heroes are over, and that's good. That's only half true. The days of heroes are over, but that's not good. Young people need heroes. And I'm not talking about Dennis Rodman and Michael Jordan either. I had some heroes. One of those heroes was a preacher named Dr. G.B. Vick. Dr. Beecham Vick, G.B. Vick, was pastor at that time of the largest church in America and the largest Sunday school in the world. He had about 5,000 people. Turn me up just a little bit, please, in the PA room. just a tad. He had about 5,000 people in Sunday school average and had the largest Sunday school in the world and I think the largest church in America. He was one of my top three heroes. One day when I was just still about 33 years of age and had been pastor of this church just a while, secretary called me and said, Brother Howells, do you know a Dr. G.B. Vick? I said, no, but he's one of my heroes. She said, he's out here in the hallway, wants to see you. Scared me to death, absolutely scared me to death. And I went out in the hallway, and Dr. Vick was out there. And he said, Brother Howells, I'd like to talk to you. I'm going from Detroit to Springfield, from the Baptist Temple Baptist Church in Detroit to the Baptist Bible College in Springfield, where he was president of the college and pastor of the church in Detroit. And he said, I need about an hour of your time. Young Jack Hiles, 33 years of age or so, looked up at his hero and said, Dr. Vick, I'm sorry, but I cannot give you that hour. I said, in about 3 minutes, I've got to leave to keep an appointment that I must keep. And Dr. Vick said, have I ever asked you for any of your time before? I said, no, you've not. He said, I understand that you've said often that I'm one of your heroes. I said, you are. You're one of my top three heroes in the entire world. And Dr. Vick said, can't you give me 1 hour? I said, Dr. Vick, I have an appointment. He said, is it all that important? I said, yes, sir, it is all that important. I've got to go. Dr. Vick was a little peeved at me. Now, Dr. Vick's in heaven now, and he's in better humor now than he was that day. But Dr. Vick got a little peeved at me, and he walked away angry, I don't know, but at least upset with me. Several years later, I saw Dr. Vick. I was preaching in Springfield, Missouri. I saw Dr. Vick, and he walked up to me and sternly said, Dr. Hiles, do you remember several years ago when I stopped by your church and wanted an hour of your time? I said, yes, I remember that. He said, Dr. Hiles, you remember that you said you had something, an appointment that was so important you could not give me an hour. And I said, I remember that very well. He said, I found out what the appointment was. And I said, uh-oh, I knew what it was too. He said, I found out what it was. I said, all right. He said, is it true? You had a date with your daughter, Becky, who was 8 years of age. And I said, that's true. The old warrior had a tear escape his eye and invade his brow and looked at me and said, Dr. Hiles, I think you made the right choice. You made the right choice. You see, life is a series of priorities. Show me what your priorities are, and I'll show you what kind of a Christian you are. In describing those priorities, there are three statements in the Bible I want to call to your attention. One, we read a while ago, says we sought him not after due order. Point number one, due order. And then in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I read the first scripture, in due order. And now it says that God may exalt you in due time. The third scripture read a while ago, be ye not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap, if you faint not. My outline tonight is the same as my title. Number one, in due order. Number two, in due time. Number three, in due season. I start the first, and I want you to listen very carefully. I start the first by talking about the scripture that says, in due order. Now, what does that mean? That means in proper sequence. That means we're supposed to do certain things, do this, and that's followed by this, and followed by this. Most sin is good done out of order. That's what most sin is. Titus 1:5, the Apostle Paul, wrote young Titus, and Titus had written Paul and said, could you recommend me to another church? It's a rough place out here. These Grecians are a wicked people. And Paul wrote back and said, no, Titus, I'm going to leave you in Crete. And he said, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou mightest set in order things that are wanting. He's saying there that the Cretan people have some good things that are not in order. And so, because of that, they become bad things. In the Corinthian church, for example, 1 Corinthians 11:34, the rest will I set in order when I come. I'll get these things in order when I come. like this out of order. He said, I'll get these things back in order, in the proper order. Now, first number one, second number two, third number three, fourth number four, I'll set those things in order when I come. And also in 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. In Psalm 50 and verse 21, I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes, in proper order. You say, you go to a ball game and they say, we'll announce the batting order. What does that mean? Batting in the leadoff position is certain player. In the second position, another player. And the third position, another player. That's the batting order. And so, now the Corinthian church had gotten some things out of order. For example, they'd gotten sex out of order. They'd gotten sex out of marriage. And they'd gotten it out of order. They'd gotten the Lord's Supper out of order. They'd gotten the Lord's Supper and made it a part of salvation and taken a good thing, gotten it out of order. Paul said, I want to set in order. They'd gotten the gifts of the Spirit out of order. They'd placed the gift of tongues way up there, and God placed the gift of tongues on the bottom. They'd gotten them out of order. And then they got this matter of settling differences out of order. They were going to secular courts, and God said, no, you don't go to secular courts. Settle your own problems. And the Christian should not sue each other. So the Apostle Paul writes the church at Corinth and said, I want to set in order the things that are wanting, and let all things be done decently and in order. In 2 Chronicles 29:35, so the services of the house of God were set in order. Tonight, we started off with a choir singing, and then we had a congregational song, and then I led in prayer, and then we had a special number, and then we had a congregational song, and so forth. That's, we call that the order of the service. Miss Colston gives me a little card. You know that card? She has the order of the service. What it means is, what sequence do we have things in order? Now then, nearly every sin is something good if it's done at the right time. But it is something that is done at the wrong time. Let me give you an example. Play now a little too loud. Turn me down just a bit, please, up there. For example, let me give you something in order. Love, marriage, sex, children. That's God's divine order. Hugh Hefner to the contrary. Hollywood to the contrary. The situation ethics to the contrary. God's divine order is love, marriage, sex, children. Listen to me now. Hey, listen to me. No talking. Listen to me. Now, does that mean that sex is wrong? No, it means it's wrong before marriage. Does that mean having a child is wrong? No, it's wrong to have a child out of wedlock. You see. So, what it is, God's divine order is love, marriage, sex, and children. Illustration. Salvation, baptism, church membership, Lord's Supper. That's God's divine order. Now, let's take salvation, baptism, church membership, Lord's Supper. Now, you take the Lord's Supper and place it up here before salvation and call it a sacrament, and you've taken a good thing and placed it out of order. Nothing wrong with the Lord's Supper. It's a wonderful thing if it is in God's divine order. Or you take church membership and you place church membership up here before salvation and say you got to belong to somebody's church to get saved. You've taken a good thing and placed it out of order. You take baptism. Wonderful thing to get baptized if you're saved. But then if you take baptismal regeneration and put baptism before salvation, then you got it out of order. I'm saying God's divine order is salvation, baptism, church membership, and Lord's Supper. Illustration. Soul winning and then church work. Soul winning and then church work. Nobody has a right to do church work who's disobeying the Great Commission. Our churches are full of people holding offices, got deacons and finance committees and trustees and people holding office that are disobeying God. They've gotten it out of order. Nobody's supposed to hold an office in a church unless he's a soul winner. We have 93 deacons at First Baptist Church, and every deacon has to assure me and assure our deacon board before he's ever chosen to be a deacon that he is in some way winning souls to Christ or some kind of a soul-winning program. It may be a bus route. It may be the fisherman's club. It may be just going out on his own. But nobody has a right to be a deacon who's not a soul winner. I don't care how much money you've got. Don't care how famous you are. I don't care if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a businessman. I don't care what you are. If you're not a soul winner, you're not fit to be a deacon. That's just as plain as can be. But we get them out of order. Let me give you another one. God's divine order. Work, money, buy. Work, money, buy. That means if every young couple here take your credit cards and tear them up, you'd be doing a wise thing. Work, money, buy. Work, money, buy. Wait to get that washing machine till you've been married a while and can afford to pay for it. Your mother did, but you want the first week of marriage what your mother took 20 years for your mother and dad to get. But God's divine order, work, money, buy. All this, listen, America is going to go under over the credit card business and the credit business. You'd be very, very wise if you had simply decided that you're going to pay cash for everything that you get. Now, especially everything that does not have sufficient collateral where you could pay for it if you sold the merchandise that is being on which you're borrowing. God's divine order, home, church, school. Home, church, school. I'm for the Christian school, but it's not as important as the New Testament church. I was preaching in a certain city. In fact, most everywhere I preach is at a certain place. You want to take notes on that? Feel free to write that down. I was preaching in a certain city. I was on the platform waiting to speak. In fact, the service hadn't started, but I was already on the platform. Here came a cute little majorette, cute little cheerleader. Very attractive young lady, down the aisle in a nice, by the way, a modest cheerleading outfit. Nothing wrong with her outfit at all. Obviously, she was the cheerleader of the high school that the church operated. She bounced upon the platform and she said, "Dr. Hiles, I want to meet you." She said, "I'm the pastor's daughter. Now, I can't be in the service tonight because our high school basketball team is playing and I'm a cheerleader." She said, I want to meet you and tell you we're glad to have you here. And the pastor seemed sort of proud that his daughter was up there meeting me, though she couldn't be in the service. Now, when a church is having a meeting and there's a basketball game going on, you're supposed to cancel the basketball game. God's divine order is home, church, school. And you school teachers here that are more faithful to your class than you are to your church are not right with God. Let me say it again. You school teachers in our schools here, more faithful to your class than you are to your church, are not right with God. And you school teachers here that are not involved in the local church in some capacity, you're not right with God. America's filled with Christian school teachers who think their job for God is teaching in a Christian school. No, sir. Your job for God, your number one job for God is your family. Your number two job is your church. And your number three job is your school. That's God's divine order. God's divine order for the women. Husband, children, house. Husband, children, house. Nothing wrong with being a good mother, but it's not as important as being a good wife. God didn't look down one day and see a baby need his diaper changed and made somebody to change the baby's diaper. God saw a man that needed encouragement, needed a helpmeet, and God made a woman to be a helpmeet for a man. And I'm saying, women, it's time you put your husband above your children. It's time you put your husband above that pretty house of yours. It's time you put your husband up there on the top shelf where he ought to be. That's God's divine order. Now, I'm trying to say, all of these things are excellent. But the honest, simple truth is, we get these good things and place them out of order. And the Apostle Paul said to Titus, "I left you in Crete to set in order the things that are out of order." And the Apostle Paul wrote the Corinthian church and said that all things be done decently and in order or in proper sequence. Now, a scripture I use in preaching a sermon around the country, I'm going to pull it out tonight and use it. It's found in Joshua 11:15. Don't turn to it. I'll quote it for you. Joshua left nothing undone of all that God commanded. Joshua left nothing undone of all that God commanded. Now, I want you to listen carefully to that statement. He did not say Joshua left nothing undone of all that God preferred. Joshua had to leave something undone. I can't do all I'm supposed to do. I've got too many things to do. I cannot do. If you came to my office tonight, I could take you right behind my chair and show you a box that high. That box is full of letters that I have that I've not answered that need to answer. I'll never answer those letters. Their letters are some stupid question like, where'd Cain get his wife? He got his wife from his mother-in-law, dummy. Of course, where do you get your wife? But where'd Cain get? And a lot of stupid question. Now I'd like to answer those letters, but God didn't command me to. But God commanded me to pray, so I put prayer up on the top of the list. God commanded me to go soul winning, so soul winning's up high on the list. God commanded me to live in that book. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, you ought to take every responsibility that you have
and decide which are commanded by God and which are not commanded by God, and put the commandments of God before anything else in your schedule. Let me give you an example. We hear an awful lot about the Proverbs 31 lady. We have Proverbs 31 clubs and Proverbs 31 ladies and books written entitled Proverbs 31 lady and all that. And the Proverbs 31, the last 20-some-odd verses, deal with what a virtuous woman is. But there's not one single commandment in Proverbs 31. Not a one. Now, it's a good thing to do the things in Proverbs 31, but there are no commandments in Proverbs 31. You give me the Ephesians 5 lady. For there's some commandments in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, submit yourself to your own husband. That is not a request. It's not a suggestion. It is a command from Almighty God. A command. God said, submit yourself to your own husband. Well, you say, my husband's not very spiritual. God didn't say, submit yourself to your spiritual husband. He said, submit yourself to your own husband. And again, a few verses later, he said, be in subjection to your own husband. And a little while later, it says, reverence your own husband. That is a command. There's nothing in the Bible that commands a woman to teach a Bible class. I'm for that, but it's not a command. There's nothing in the Bible that commands a woman to sing in the choir. I'm for that. If it weren't for you, we'd have to listen to these men. I'm for that, but there's no commandment of God. God, deliver me from these great spiritual giantesses who have the biggest Bible class of all the ladies' classes in the church, who leave their husband around like that. Don't tell me you're a good Christian. You're in direct disobedience to God's commandments. If you are married, you say, Brother Howell, this is 1996. You don't look that smart. I don't care if it's 1998, 2164. God's word is always true, and God's word is always real. It is a command of God. You men, if I was preaching on heaven, you'd all be shouting. I'm up here trying to straighten your wife out, and you're scared to say anything. Yeah, you're not even married, fellow. What are you doing standing up there? I hope someday you're alone like I am, and I'm sitting out there. I'll shake my head while you pray. I said, you're not a good Christian because you read the Bible. You're a good Christian because you obey the Bible. And God's first command to every married woman is be a good wife. For example, did you know there's nothing in the Bible about a father taking his family on vacation? Now, I'm not against that. It's a good thing to do, but it's not a command. If you've got to choose between that and the commands of God, choose the commands of God. There's nothing in the Bible about a father taking his boy hunting. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with nothing in the Bible about a father taking his boy fishing. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing in the Bible about a father taking his boy to a ball game. Nothing wrong with that unless it's a Cub game. Nothing wrong with that. Let me tell you something. There is a command in the Bible that says the father is supposed to bring up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that does not say mother, that says father. It is a command of God that you teach that Bible to your children. It is a command of God that you read that Bible to your children. There are men tonight who have good reputations, you're considered a good Christian man, who never take that Bible one time a week and read that Bible to your children. If you can't read the Bible to your family and take your boy fishing, burn the fishing pole and get in the book. I'm saying life is a matter of priorities. And Joshua said, it was said of Joshua, he left nothing undone. Now hold it, he didn't stop there. He did leave some things undone. But he left nothing undone of all that God commanded. Joshua said, I've got this to do, this to do, this to do, this and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Now he said, I'm going to go back and figure out what are commandments. He said, okay, does God command me to do this? No. How about this? Yes, it does. Okay, I'll do this one. Does God command me to do this? Yes, it does. I'll do this one. Does God command me this one? No. And Joshua said he left nothing undone of all that God commanded. For example, did you know there's nothing in the Bible
about a making the honor roll? Nothing. Nothing in the Bible about a child making the honor roll. I found that out when I was in school and obeyed it. Now, don't you educators get mad at me now. But there's nothing in the Bible about a child making the honor roll. Now, that's a good thing. I'm not against it. Never practiced it, but I'm not against it. But it is not commanded. But it is commanded that a child obey his parents. Now, it's time you parents got as rigid about your children obeying you as your children making the honor roll. I see these bumper stickers that my child made the honor roll at Evolution High School. I like the one that says, my boy beat up your honor roll student. Why don't somebody make a bumper sticker that said, my boy obeys his mom and dad? Now you listen to me. I don't care if you go to teenage soul winning and you're the best teenage soul winner this man has. I don't care if you memorize the whole Bible in Bible class at your high school. I don't care if you make the honor roll and you're valedictorian, salutatorian, graduate honor. Some come loudy, some come very loudy, and some come louder than others. I don't care what you are. If you do not obey your mom and dad, you are not right with God. It's a command. It's a command. Do you know there's nothing in the Bible about piano recitals? Glory to God in the highest. I'd rather go through the first half of the tribulation period. You ever been to piano recital? When our kids were little, I went to them. I can honestly say, only one kid in every recital did a good job. Strange enough, it's always our kid. I'm not against a girl playing the piano. If a boy plays football more than he plays the piano, I'm not against a boy playing the piano. But I'll tell you what I am against. I'm against children getting bragged on because they can hit the right black and white notes more than because they obey their moms and dads. Now you listen. Every child here listen to me. Every boy and girl listen to me. Every teenager listen to me. You are commanded by God. It's the top of the priority. Obey your mom and dad. In due order. Do you know there's nothing in the Bible about a macho husband? But there's something in the Bible about loving your wife as Christ loved the church. And that's a command. Brother, you guys that got bicep like a grapefruit. The brain like a peanut. You think you're a He-Man because you got big biceps. Let me tell you something. I'm trying to find somebody that's little. I can't find anybody that's little up here. Here we are. He's got big biceps, triceps, quadriceps, cincoceps, and all of it. Now listen carefully to me. You may have a bicep the size of a grape. But if you're taking your stand for God, rearing your children according to that Bible and teaching that Bible to your children, loving your wife as Christ loved the church, and serving God, you are more of a man than Arnold Schwarzenegger is. It's time that God's people got their houses in order. And I don't mean cleaned up. I mean it's time we put the first thing first, second thing second, third thing third, and it's time we put the commandments of God up on top shelf. There's a second statement. First point, in due order. Second point, in due time. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Not only do we need to get things in due order, but in due time. What I mean? I have life divided into several eras. One, infancy. Two, childhood. Three, adolescence. Four,
young married. A college. 5, young married. 6, middle age. And 7, senior citizen. Now, each of those eras has some wonderful... I've been in all of them. I've been an infant. I loved it. Just laying there, going, goo, 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 goo. You folks don't believe in laughing in church. Go on home. I'm tired of looking at you. Go back to your dead church. Go on back to your 5 or 6 people on Sunday night. Now you listen to me. In it's a wonderful time. All you got to do is suck on a bottle and cry if you don't like what's going on. And they pick you up and pat you gently on the bottom. And you get over here, they hit you heavily on the bottom. But each of these eras has a wonderful, some wonderful things. Childhood. So young children, enjoy your childhood. Don't reach out there and grab adolescence before you get there. Enjoy your childhood. Teenager, don't reach out and grab college and marriage before you get there. Enjoy your high school. Enjoy your adolescence. College students, enjoy your college life. Don't get married and leave college and quit. Enjoy it. Get your degree. Young married people, enjoy young married life. Don't try to buy the house you can't afford. Don't try to buy the car you can't afford. Look, you're young. You're in love. Buy your house when you're not in love anymore. That's preaching, ain't it? As a man just bought a house. But here's life. Little baby says, I wish I was that age. Little child said, I wish I was older, teenager. Teenager, I wish I was in college. I wish I could get married. I wish I could be a middle-ager now. I wish I could have all the success of a middle-ager. And then this poor senior citizen says, I wish I could be back over there. Enjoy your life in due time. Each has wonderful advantages. Live each to the fullest. Do not reach forward. Do not reach backward. Buy your things in due time. Save some things to buy. You've heard me say this. People send me invitation to weddings. Says, our china is registered at Marshall Fields. It's called Gently Forever. They'll make popsicles where the booger man lives before I'll buy some china for you after you ask me what for it. No way. No way. No way. And our silver is registered. It's called Eatingly Yours. It's registered at Carson Perry and Scott. Shoot. I'll buy you a towel. I said this before. I thank God, Ms. Howes and I, we got married. We didn't have anything. Nobody gave us a shower. Nobody gave us a sprinkle. Nobody even gave us a high humidity. We didn't have a knife, didn't have a fork, didn't have a plate, didn't have a saucer, didn't have a cup. We'd had any of those things. We didn't have any food to put in them anyhow. Enjoy. Listen, if you are a little child, you enjoy that part of your life. If you are a teenager, you enjoy that part of your life. If you're in college, you enjoy its benefits. If you're young married, you enjoy your young married days. If you're in your middle years, enjoy it. If you are in your senior years, go quickly to the nearest rest home. Number 3. First, and by the way, you folks don't believe in life, then get the truth I'm telling you. Just frown, but get the truth. I'm saying, get your Christian life in due order. And get your Christian life in due time. Wait for a while to buy that washing machine and dryer. Wait for a while. You don't
You don't need to go to the Holy Land while you're 13. Go to Indianapolis first. Then go to Chicago. Then go to Wisconsin. Then go to Mackinac Island. And then go to Smoky Mountains. Then go to the Rocky Mountains. And then go to Yellowstone National Park. Don't eat up the whole world while you're a child. I'm saying enjoy life this in due time, and in due time, and in due time, and in due time. Enjoy life to its fullest, and don't reach out. I go to the airport. I see women, old women, wearing shorts. Look like they need to be pressed. Pharisee. Gown shorts. Legs look like road maps. Trying to balance themselves on a pair of high heels. If you're a grandma, be a grandma. If you're young, be young. Whatever you are, thank God for what you are and enjoy what you are. Don't reach out to get something there, and don't reach back to get something there. Enjoy in due time what you have to enjoy. Number three, due season. Due season. Due order. Due time. Due season. Galatians 6, 9, be ye not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. What does that mean? That means if you do what's right, in due season you'll reap. Just keep doing right. And don't worry about how it's going to turn out. Let God turn it out. You turn it in. You just do right. When a circumstance comes, you do right. Somebody offers you a drink of liquor, you do right. Somebody offers you a cup of wine, you do right. Somebody offers you a cigarette, you do right. Somebody wants you to go to Lover's Lane, you do right. But you say, for the house, I can't get a promotion. You do right. In due season, you'll reap. If you faint not. 36 years ago today, Brother Ray. 36 years ago this morning, I was in the battle of my life here at First Baptist. Church was American Baptist. The deacons had tried to make me get permission from them before I took a speaking engagement outside. They tried to make me get permission from them before I could accept a position on the board somewhere. I had to get permission from the finance committee if I took an offering. Had to get permission from the missions committee before I have a mission speaker. Had to get permission. I didn't do all this, but that's what they tried to get me to do. Pulpit committee had to tell me if I had who preached for me in case I was gone out of town. Had a rule that nobody could put a picture on a wall in any room in the building unless he got permission from board trustees. Jim Lyons, my assistant pastor that came with me, my associate pastor came from Texas with me. Jim Lyons put a picture of his family on the wall in his office. He got to church the next Sunday. It was taken down, and a note from one of the trustees saying, you have no right to put this picture of your wife and family on the wall of your office without permission of the board of trustees. 36 years ago this morning, I walked in the building over there. It's now burned. Sermon was so hot it caught on fire that morning. I walked in. I said, no singing. I have no song. No song. Ushers, come down. We'll have the offering. You're not going to take this too far now, you know. I get the plates. Come on down. They were shocked. No specials. No congregation song. Come on down. Offering. They took the offering, and I said, now I want to talk to you. And that morning, I said, in 2 weeks from today, we're having a vote. We're not voting on whether I stay or leave. We're voting on whether this church is the kind of church that I want to pastor or not.
I said 2 weeks in the day, we're voting to leave the American Baptist Convention. And every church in America ought to leave, that's in the American Baptist Convention, ought to leave the American Baptist Convention. I said, number two, we're voting to dissolve all committees. We had 22 committees. I said, number three, the deacon board and the board trustees have both resigned. Number four, we'll elect a new board of deacons and have no board trustees, one board. Number five, all officers of the Sunday school must live separated lives and abide by the convictions and standards of separation as preached from the pulpit. Number six, the church will become a business democracy and the pulpit a dictatorship. And I said, I'm not asking you to vote on me. We're voting on these six things. And if all six aren't passed, I'm resigning. That was 36 years ago today. And you listen, brother. The fight is on, the trumpet sound is ringing loud, the cry to arms is heard afar and near. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. The money was against me, but the common man was for me. 36 years ago today, I had eight churches in Texas. Different churches had asked me to come back and become their pastor. I said, now, if you want me to stay, you'll do these things. We'll vote on these things. Not me, but these things. 704 people voted for these things and 229 voted against them. We had grown from the first year I was here to from 700 to 1,100 in attendance. And then all of a sudden we lost 400 and we went right back down to 700. Now, folks, the things that I just read to you are right. They're right. He said, well, how's it going to turn out? Doesn't matter how it turns out. You're supposed to do what's right. And in due season, you shall reap. So we had 700 people left. 1 year later, had 700 people attending. 1 year later, had 700 people attending. 1 year later, had 700 people attending. 3 years, it had grown from 700 to 700. 3 years. What are you going to do? Right? In due season. Didn't say next year, said in due season. You shall reap. In due season. Didn't say when due season is, but it says when due season comes, and God knows when due season is. It says you eat if you faint not. We just kept on. And kept on. And thank God, look at this crowd. It's due season. It's due season. It's due season. Ever since 1974, we've had the largest Sunday school in the world. It's due season. Now you listen to me, folks. Get your house in order. Get the things in proper sequence according to the importance and the commands of God in order. Then you get your life in tune with due time. Due order, and then due, D-U-E, due time. You enjoy every era and segment of life and enjoy in due time the enjoyments that that particular era offers. And then you keep on doing right. And in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. America is dying tonight for three reasons, what I preach tonight. We're dying tonight because we got things out of order. Mr. Clinton has got things out of order. He ought to put that book on the top of his order in the White House. Out of order. Churches got the church program out of order. Soul winning is the big thing. Out of order. I repeat what I said a while ago. Love, marriage, sex, children. Any one of these taken out of its proper order and you've got sin. Salvation, baptism, church membership, Lord's Supper. Any one of these taken out of its proper order and you've got sin and wrong. Work, money, buy. That's God's divine order. You take the buy over here before you do the working,
or buy before you do the money. It's work, money, buy. It's home, church, and school. It's husband, children, house. It's commandments and then preferences. I ask you a question tonight. You need to get anything in order. Anything in order? What's out of order in your life? I mean, what priority in your life is out of order? Secondly, in due time. Are you accepting the part of life in which you live with its benefits? Are you just living until you can get to the next step or the next era? 3 months from now, I'll be 70. I don't want to get 70. That's 70. I'm checking the Hebrew to see if that's right. I think it meant 70 in the Hebrew. But I'll be 70. I've decided that I am going to be a happy old man. And I am. I'm enjoying my senior years. You get discounts on everything. I told you this in this house, and I stopped at Burger King. We go to Burger King a lot, drive through. We always get the same thing. 2 junior whoppers minus mayonnaise plus mustard. Always same thing. And then 2 cups of coffee. Always same thing. We stopped over here on 165th Street, what is it in Illinois? River Oaks Drive, near Burnham, at that Burger King. We'd never been there before. Drove that little microphone there and stopped the car, and I said, we want 2 junior whoppers, minus mayonnaise plus mustard, and 2 cups of coffee. The exact amount, I don't remember, but it's about like this. She said, that's $3.18. I said, no, it's not. I said, it's $4.05. She said, I said, sir, it's $3.18. I said, ma'am, we have bought 2 junior whoppers, minus mayonnaise, plus mustard, and 2 cups of coffee all over this area at Burger King, and we know what it is. It's $4.05. She said, sir, it's $3.18. I said, are you having a sale? She said, no, it's a senior citizen discount. She hadn't even seen me. I said, how could you tell? She said, by your voice. In due time, you enjoy each thing in due time. In due order, in due time. And ladies and gentlemen, you just keep on doing what you know is right to do. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Well, I can't get a date if I don't go to Lover's Lane. Boys won't date me. In due season, they will. Yeah, in due season, they will. I think of a young lady, and I'm not going to call her name, but I'm going to call her husband's name. You'll know who she is if you know our church family very well. Beautiful young lady. She came to my office one day, and she said, Brother Hiles, so-and-so wants to date me. What do you think? I said, I don't think you should. She said, Brother Hiles, I like the man very much, boy very much. He's a nice guy. I said, I don't think you ought to date that young man. She said, but he's good looking. I said, don't think you ought to date him. She cried and she said, Brother Hiles, I decided a long time ago I'd never date anybody you didn't approve, and that's not a bad idea. She said, I'll break up. She cried. She broke up with him. She came back a while later, and she said, Brother Hiles, I got another boy who wants to go with me, and I like him a lot. He's pretty sharp. What do you think? I said, don't think you'll date that fellow either. She said, Brother Hiles, I'm getting up in years. I'm getting close to 20. She said, Brother Hiles, I like this guy. This is the second time. I said, I don't think you ought to date him. She said, Brother Hiles, I'm afraid I won't ever get married. I said, in due season. She said, okay, I'll break up with him. I said, you mark my word, one of these days, God's going to give you one of the choicest young men in this church. She said, I wish you'd hurry. One day she came in, smiling real big. She said, guess who asked me for a date?
David Neimeyer. David Neimeyer. Today she is Mrs. David Neimeyer. She got one of the best young men we had, one of the best basketball players we ever had, one of the finest Christians we ever had, one of the most young men, one of the most as much character as any man we ever had. In due season. In due season. Tonight, get things in due order. Don't reach out and take things until due time. And keep on doing what you know is right. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. When I was a kid, I didn't date till I was 17 because it didn't weigh over 100 pounds till I was 17. I now weigh 110. But my first girlfriend was a honey. She was pretty. Oh, she was pretty. And I went steady with her. I was a senior in high school. She's one of the prettiest girls in high school. But she wasn't really she wasn't a wicked girl, but she wasn't one of the best girls. Now, don't misunderstand me. She wasn't immoral. She just wasn't really red hot for Jesus. And the church people started praying for me that I'd break up with the gal. So I finally broke up with her. I thought I'd die. I thought about suicide. I really did. But look what I got. In due season. I saw that girl about 15 years later. She weighed 300 pounds. Now, I'm not criticizing you. If you ladies weigh 300, don't you get mad at me. But just don't propose to me either. I'm in trouble. I'm in deep trouble. And I'm in trouble with those that can whip me, too. That's the problem. Tonight, get your life in order. I'm not talking about cleaning it up. I'm talking about straightening it up in proper sequence. Tonight, you take whatever era you're in and enjoy it and wait till due time to enjoy the pleasures of the next era. Tonight, you keep on doing right and keep on doing right and in due season. Thank God for due season. Hallelujah for due season. This building tonight talks about due season. Crowd this morning talks about due season. Just keep on doing right in due time, in due order, in due season. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Heavenly Father, through all the laughter tonight, life-changing truths have been spoken from this platform. I pray you to help us as God's people to put things in the right order, due order, and then help us to take whatever era of life is ours, enjoy it, and wait for the pleasures of the next era. Till due time. And may we decide to do what's right in the sight of God and not faint, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Our heads are bowed.